We get it. You're busy. You want to grow, and we want to help. You're passionate about your craft because it deeply matters to you. Your faith is important. It's your foundation. At Stayforth, we coach leaders to avoid burnout, live and lead with clarity, purpose, and from a place of health. We want you to experience long-term impact. Welcome to the journey.
Well, we got a special one for you here today. I love interviewing people. I love hearing about people's books, the message that God has uniquely put inside of them. But this one is different. I've got Chad Lunsford on here, and Chad serves as one of our coaches at Stayforth, especially in the area of sabbatical. He's also a leadership coach, just phenomenal at pulling the greatness out of people. And it's been a joy to be shoulder to shoulder with him. And so excited to expose you guys to him. He also serves as a pastor, a speaker, and now an author. Chad, so good to have you on, my man.
Alan, it's so good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I was thinking back. I think we've been chatting through this message, I want to say, right at about 2 years. Does that sound right to you?
It's actually been about 3 years. Yeah.
Wow.
It goes back to you and I on top of a mountain in Colorado. So it goes back 3 years.
Man, there's no better place to start talking about a book message than there. You know, go up to 11,000 feet, get some snow mixed in there. Seriously, man, it has been really fun. The glimmer in your eye of, hey, I think I need to write this, all the way to, you know, kind of the origin story for this. And so before I get into the heart of this book, I actually want you to just go back a little bit. When did this message just start formulating in your mind and in your heart?
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, thanks so much for having me on here, Alan, and the opportunity to talk about it. It really is a deeply personal book for me. And it's not just something that I thought might be interesting to write. You know, this is really coming out of my life, you know, what I felt compelled to share with others. And so really back in 2021, was really contemplating a lot of like, what am I distinctly called to do, which is what landed me on top of a mountain in Colorado with you. And so as I'm beginning to put words on a page and dream about Made for More, you know, you and I were really working together on like, well, what would the next 20 to 25 years of impact potentially look like? And it really came down to me that there were two things that I am uniquely designed to do. One is to awaken worth in others, to help them see the worth that they are created with. And secondly, and equally, is to really inspire purpose in others, to help them understand that, you know, not only are you made with worth, but that you are made with a distinct purpose. And so this book is really unearthed from that. And there's a personal side to the book, and there's a deeply missional component as well. And growing up in the Midwest, and of course, I've had the privilege of living all over the country and visiting all over the, or, you know, around the globe. And so, you know, for me, it's been seeing similar themes where I grew up and then all around the world as well. And it's this, you know, so many people will settle. They hit some kind of an obstacle, some kind of a challenge, and they'll settle. They'll dream smaller. They'll expect less. And yet, what I've discovered in myself and others is there's a bit of a war happening within us, that we desire more. We desire to do something more with ourselves, but we hear these competing voices and we're just not sure what to do. And so, Made for More was really birthed out my desire to help others find a roadmap for unearthing what they innately sense in them, but they're not really sure how to bring about.
Yeah, so good. What are some of the gaps or obstacles that people face when they think, I am made for more, I do have a greater purpose? Why is it so challenging to find that?
Yeah. I use this analogy in the book, and I think a lot of people will be able to connect to this. When my oldest daughter was really young, maybe 2 years old, she was playing with this bouncing ball out in our courtyard when we lived just north of Los Angeles. And she was playing with it, having a great time. And at one moment, I recognized that she could have lost it, almost bounced out to the streets, down to the gutters of Pasadena, California, never to be seen again. And where she was playing joyfully and without fear, all of a sudden she turned into fear, placed the ball in her pocket, and would not get it out. And it was just one of these strange moments where I recognized, man, that's what we all do in life, isn't it? that something happens, and to protect ourselves, we put our lives in our pocket. And, you know, it was a really small thing with her, but I just shared with her, hey, this ball wasn't made to put in your pocket. It was made to bounce. And the same is true for us. Our lives aren't made to play it safe, to safely arrive at death. Like, we're made to live. And for so many people, I think the obstacles are something that happened early on that they felt like a failure. It's something that someone shared with them, perhaps someone close to them. Perhaps they risked and failed. There are so many obstacles we face. I tell you, one thing that's been really surprising about this book journey for me as we began to sort of start this pre-order journey and kind of put the word out there that I'm publishing a book, are the number of people that have pulled me aside to say, hey, I have felt called to do this, but fill in the blanks. I've been afraid to, I didn't know where to start. I didn't think anybody would ever want to read it, whatever. And man, I think we all run into these obstacles with all these dreams we have. But for most of us, we stay sort of stuck in the starting blocks.
Yeah, I don't know who said it first, but that phrase, new levels, new devils. And mm-hmm. you think, oh, I've got fear under control, yeah. and I've hit this capacity level. But to get to the next one, there's a deep insecurity, and we feel that imposter syndrome. And mm-hmm. yeah, you're talking a lot. It's this, the beauty, the ball that we could take out of your pocket, like it's meant to play with. It's meant for fun, for joy, but it's so easy to self-protect. And, yep. and that's one of the reasons I love coaching, actually, is that you can continue to help people work out this message a week at a time, and more than just a talk can inspire somebody. Man, it gets scary 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, 2 months in. And I know that's something we both get to share, is to be able to walk with people as like, man, this is scary, right? Like you, me, join the club. We don't graduate that fear. And so what I hear here is really not just information, but it's transformation, this journey in a book. So if this book is a journey, where are you starting and where are you leading people to?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned it's deeply personal for me, and it is. And, I am a pastor, so it's going to be no surprise for folks that I come at this from a place of faith, but I work really hard to make it accessible for people that may not have a Christian faith or background like me, but sort of to walk them through the journey. And so, part of that would be this, right? So in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. And that was something that I, didn't grow up understanding and knowing, but sort of as a young adult, began to be impressed upon that, man, like, what would that look like to live fully? If Jesus is the creator of me, like, what did he design me to live into? There was one verse specifically that quite literally, I came back to Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote it. There was this one verse specifically that just stopped me in my tracks. I returned to it so often, my Bible fell apart at Philippians chapter 3 backwards, because daily I just kept, what does this mean? It was just like this, like I discovered a treasure map that I had to figure out. And Paul says this, he's trying to figure out, like, what's the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to do? And he says, not that I've already been perfected, not that I've already figured out all these things, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And really, since my young adult years of discovering this verse and my faith journey, that's what I've been running after. And that's what this book is trying to help people discover. What does it look like to press on to discover that for which you were designed and for which Jesus died for you to live fully into? And so that's really the journey we're walking people on, is to see the obstacles not as stopping places, but as opportunities to go further. That every obstacle you face is an opportunity to grow and to move forward. And so the journey we're trying to take people on in the book, I really does start out with that pocket conversation, like, in what ways have you been living life in the pocket to play it safe? But it's time to start living, and to help people recognize you are made to live, and beyond that, you're made to act. So how do you move forward? You are made for action versus sort of standing by passing and letting the world happen around you, or happening accidentally. So we want to walk people on that process. And here's what I've discovered, especially as a young leader, is when people are in seasons of waiting, I think waiting Seasons are incredibly important, and that's when most people stop. They were trying, they were pushing, but what they discovered is they were actually in a season of waiting. Those waiting seasons are so critical and so important, and for a lot of people, they end up getting frustrated, bitter, angry, and that's where the journey stops. We try to walk people through, like, how can you be purposefully wandering in a season of waiting? And beyond that, we walk people to, like, we are all of us made to serve. We're made to serve something higher than us. We are all made for a fight. And so, like, what fight are you made for? And quite literally, for all of us, we're supposed to be courageous for another. We're designed to help others. And so we want to help people discover, like, what is that for you? Like, what's your must? Like, what must you do? And once you discover that, whatever obstacles come your way, I've found for myself and so many others, there actually comes this, like, divine confidence where you're like, I'm hitting obstacles, I'm hitting roadblocks, but I know what I'm designed to do. And so I'm going to keep moving forward. So yeah, that's part of where we're trying to take people.
Mm, so good. You are a person of action. That's one reason you're a great coach, is because you're constantly drawing people to action. So I know that this book isn't just a great idea, tuck it aside. What do you actually want people to do when they finish reading this book?
Yeah, yeah. You know, for me, I think part of what I'm trying to help people understand is, what would it look like to lean on something that was worthwhile? So one of the stories I share in the book is I was on Big Thunder Mountain, you know, the roller coaster at Disney World, with two of my kids, my girls. We were in line, and, you know, days at Disney World, like, your back is killing you, your legs are aching, and when you're standing in those long lines, like, I'm just looking for anywhere to place my weight. And one day particularly, while we're on Big Thunder Mountain, I picked the wrong place. I thought it was a wall. Turned out it was a door. And my butt hit the lever, and it was right at that moment where, like, the line's moving. And I'm falling backwards while my girls are walking forwards. And I mean, it was an incredibly embarrassing moment for me and, like, everybody around us. They're, like, watching me not fall. I know. You have a video. I wish somebody had some kind of, like, a security footage of it. And I think what I discovered, and, you know, what I've learned from that moment, is I think for a lot of us, you know, like, we're placing our weight in things that we thought were walls, but they're actually doors. Like, they're moving on us, and they're not places that we should be trusting. I think a lot of people are looking around at artifacts, that being us, creations, and say, well, what do you think I should do with my life? And what I want to challenge us to think about in this book is, like, what if we were to look to the artist, the one who designed us, the one who made us, the one who has great purpose, who is actually more desiring, more jealous for us to, like, bring about our purpose than we even are. But what if we were to look to him and learn from him? And that's really what I want people to do in the book, is discover a life worth living. And I think that that's actually found when we're walking with the Creator, the one who designed us and the one who made us. And quite often, life's not going to look like what we thought, but man, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, there's only so much we can go into a book in, you know, a 30-minute interview. But what do you think will surprise people that's here in this message?
You know, one of the things that we're trying to bring about in this, and I this is for all people, especially young leaders, and it's this: we are made to reflect our Maker. And I think that that's going to be one surprising aspect of the book, is that our future is actually unlocked through the pathway of character. Most of us focus on doing. What am I supposed to do? And that's good. But even better is the focus on, who am I becoming? What kind of person am I? And the right actions, the right life, will come out of the right person, a person of character. And so we talk a lot in the book about our future is unlocked through our character, and it's what God is doing in us. And what I think you could argue that what God is doing in us is as important, or more likely more important, than what God is doing through us. And we can't do great things in the world until we allow God to develop greatness within us. And that's really, I think, the surprising aspect of the book is it's far more important that we spend some time developing who we are. The right things will come out if we're focusing on that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a lot of people just from the title, Made for More, I could see a lot of people picking up the book, like, what am I supposed to do? What is my next step? And certainly, yeah. Chad, we coach a lot of people through those moments of just, what am I actually supposed to do? And I love that idea that they're going to step through a door of sorts into a different world to go, let's actually think about who you are. And I say this a lot, who you are matters more than what you do. And yet we live in a culture so focused on the future, so focused on doing what is next. And I love that. I love helping people co-create, co-design their lives with God, the creator, the designer. And yet I love that you're focusing there. I had the opportunity to read this and read an early copy of this. So I can't wait, man, to read through this. And if you're listening to this, just know that right now, if you're listening to it in the month of April or early May, just to timestamp this, go ahead and pre-order it now. It's doing great already on Amazon. And man, I can't wait to get my copy of that in the mail. Chad, I believe in you, but I also believe in the struggle and the challenge you've had for this message. So I actually wanted you to get personal and go back to a conversation you had with somebody that you and I both admire, and really a shifting or turning point when you know, I got to write this message. So tell us that story.
Yeah. It's such a wonderful story. And it's been a lot of fun. I probably told it a few dozen times over the past few weeks. So back in February of 2021, having the opportunity to talk with really my favorite author, is Pastor Mark Batterson, you know, written several, you know, New York Times bestsellers. And I probably listened to so many of his books and messages, I could probably repeat them from memory. He just has such a gift for really firing people up and moving them forward. And I always tell him, you know, I listen to one of his messages and I'm like, I'm ready to take on the world. So I had the privilege to talk to him back in February of 2021, and was asking a lot of questions about writing. And so finally he just stops me. It's like, are you asking me questions about writing because you feel called to write? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a step I should take. And so he's just like, well, then do it. Like take the step. And I was like, well, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if anybody would ever read it. Right. And he said to
every author, you're real.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Here I am wanting to write a book about Made for More, you know, afraid to get out of the starting block myself. Right. Which is, it's a reality for all of us. I'm writing as a practitioner in this, right? Not as somebody who's arrived. And he said two things, stopped me in my tracks. One was, if your kids and grandkids read this, would it be enough? Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. If this is a message they get and they pass on, it changes their lives, more than worth it. The other thing he said was, if you feel called to write, it's disobedience not to. So like, let's get moving. And so really it was within, you know, probably 30 days that I just started getting up at 4:30 a.m. right? Like everybody else, got a day job. And so I got up early, 4 days a week, and my goal was 1,000 words a day. And so I did that for about 4 to 5 months of just putting in the work. Some days I'd hit it, some days I wouldn't, some days you exceed it. And man, it was just such a beautiful time. As I was walking through that journey, I was texting Mark and just, hey, here's the progress. Appreciate your encouragement. And he was in my corner every step of the way. And, I mean, once I finally had something that was like, I think this is worth sharing. Man, shared it with Mark, and, he was like, gosh, I think you need to bring this to the world. 2 years to the date that Mark and I had that conversation. This is wild. 2 years to that date, I signed a contract with the Fed agency. To bring this book to life. And again, it was just such a moment of, you know, obedience and, you know, being ordained to do it, and then seeing that brought to life, and then now having the honor to have Mark as the person who wrote the foreword, which is just incredible. So he's become a great friend in this process.
Man, I love it. Yeah, it's really fun to see behind the curtain. So you guys who are listening, watching this, YouTube, wherever you consume your podcast, go, man, that sounds like a great guy, sounds like a great message. And just to validate that, Chad, you're the real deal. And I know that you have, you know, sweat, blood, tears, you know, just a lot of grit, waking up early, squeezing the time in, editing like 17 times, you know, a book just kind of beats an author down many times to get here to this moment where now this message, you know, like the bouncy ball, can essentially go wherever it needs to go. And so, again, I just want to highly encourage you guys, go ahead and grab your copy of this and really consider coaching as well. I know that Chad's got a couple of coaching slots that does a phenomenal job helping to bring that out of people, because sometimes a book is inspiring. You say, you get to the end of it, say, what now? Where do I go? And I love that you already have the ability to walk people through that. And so I have kind of a fun surprise planned at the end. But before that, man, I just want to, I know you believe in this whole book or you wouldn't have written it, but like, is there a favorite part of it? Is there a favorite idea or story or section of this book?
I love that. I love that question. And it's difficult to like to say yes to you, right? They're all the chapters are kind of your baby. While recording the audiobook, quite honestly, it was a pretty emotional experience, right? Because you're just going through line by line, chapter by chapter. And it was just like, man, I'm so excited for people to be able to experience this. I think one probably idea or secret, I think, to the book would be my favorite. And I think it's a really important thing that comes out in the book. And you alluded to it earlier. You know, I think we think our purpose is somewhere out in the future, right? If I do the right things today, at some undetermined point in the future, then I'll reach my purpose. If I do the right things today, then at some point in the future, I will have lived my greatest story.
Yeah.
But I think the secret of the book is, if you do the right things today, you get up, you do the right things today, you lay your head on your bed, you can look back and say, it's not somewhere in the future. I lived my purpose today. I did the right things. I was the right person. I invested in others. The things that I'm designed to do, I did today. So I lived my greatest story today. I don't have to wait for it somewhere in the future. I can do the right things now that add up to the kind of life that I'm going to be proud of.
Love it. All right, man. Here's a surprise. We're going to do a lightning round. You had no idea this is coming. I like it that way. We're going to throw you back on your heels for this time. There's no rhyme or reason to these questions. So, all right, first of all, a movie you love and why?
Movie I love and why? So, top of my mind, probably because I just recently went back and watched it, less of a movie, more of a series, would be Band of Brothers. And why? I love watching leaders emerge, and that's what happens in the story of Band of Brothers. You know, these guys that sort of start at one level, they're put in the heat once they land on the beaches of Normandy, and so many of them just continue to rise to the occasion. They had put in the work in their training, and so they're able to rise to the occasion once they got into these difficult places. And there's one scene in particular where one guy, you know, says, hey, we're just so glad to have you as like a new commanding officer. And he's like, the men are just, they're excited to have somebody to lead us. This commanding officer looks back and says, I think they've had somebody leading them all along. You know, and it goes back and talks about this guy who didn't know that he was keeping everybody alive and doing so many important things. So yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Boom. A sugary treat that is your kryptonite.
Sugary treat that's my kryptonite. I think I've got some sitting up on my shelf right now. So white chocolate caramels from Ghirardelli. Love them.
Oh, hello. Hello. You know my address. Let's go, Chad. Piece of advice somebody's given you that's been really helpful.
Oh, goodness. Trying to think. The one that I shared with about Mark a minute ago comes to mind quickly. Gosh, I'm trying to think of something unique or different that, you know, perhaps somebody... here's one. So, you and I are both Enneagram sevens, so you'll get this, right? So as Enneagram sevens, we like adventure. We like new things. We like, you know, being the tip of the spear, creating all of that. My dad, is anything but an Enneagram seven. He's very much like execute, get things done, finish what you started. And, growing up when I was bored, with a sport or a team or whatever, when I was like, okay, like I'm done with that. I think I can move on. It was just never an option. And so I'm so grateful for somebody that has such a different, outlook on life that was like, no, you're going to finish this. You're going to see it through and you're going to see the importance of it. It's really paid off well over the years as I'm like, I'm going to start this. Okay. And how am I going to land the plane as well?
That's good. Something that brings you to tears besides puppies.
I don't know if puppies do anyway. They bring me to anger sometimes with the one I've got living in my house, but
come on, kicking.
Didn't say I've kicked him, but I guess he does make me angry sometimes. Brings me to tears. So I love to travel. My absolute favorite thing. And so when I get to do it with like my wife and kids or kids, I travel individually with my kids often, and I just love it. And so, certain moments where it's like they're in a state of awe, like that's, especially when they look back on it. I was talking with my girls, and it was just like, hey, what was the time you were most alive? And both of them mentioned a moment when we were traveling together. And so those are just super, super sweet moments for me.
One thing that drains you?
Anything that is repetitive. So like doing this week and next week.
Go ahead.
I guess I was explain what I mean by repetitive, but just anything that's like this week and next week and the week after. Yeah, it drains me.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah. One thing that gives you life.
So I mentioned travel. It's absolutely brings me to life. But even one of the things we talk about with like work, teach people through sabbatical or just leadership coaching, is it doesn't have to be across the globe. It can be your favorite coffee shop across town or great food. So I live in Indianapolis, so we've got amazing restaurants and coffee shops. So like just getting into a spot of the city where culture and went out to see a musical with my girls last night. And man, just great spots in the city. You know what I mean? That just bring out sort of my imagination.
All right, man. On a more serious note, one quote, thought, or idea that you hope people remember from this book.
One quote, thought, or idea. I think it would be that bouncing ball analogy. It was a really sweet moment I had with my oldest daughter Ava when she was very young, and it's a story I've mentioned in messages over the years across the country, and people will say, "Hey, I still remember." There's been different places I've preached that message. We'll actually hand out like multicolored bouncing balls, and they'll say, "Man, I still got it. Still sits on my desk." As a reminder that I'm not made to put life in my pocket, but to keep moving forward. So I think that would be the overarching hope, is that people recognize that they're made by a loving creator that wants to bring out the best in them.
Such a perfect ending to our time together. Chad, just want to encourage you, man. I know how insecure it can be and feel to launch a book out into the world. Terrifying, maybe, that terrifying mixed with exciting. Worked so hard to get here. It is live and on Amazon, folks. Go ahead and buy Chad's book, Made for More. I don't know that there's a better deal out there than a book that has been years and years. And so, maybe it's 20 years of your life packed in here for $20. I would say that's a solid deal. So go ahead and pick up the book. Friends, we're going to continue to have Chad back here on the podcast. We've had him chatting about sabbatical before, the made for more message. We're going to continue to kind of tease out some leadership concepts here in the future, maybe even bring kind of our books together in some cool ways. So Chad, appreciate you, love what you're up to, and so pumped for you in this launch phase.
So glad to be here, Al. Thanks so much. What an honor.